Thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about ego. Ego is a force that nature made in man, and we'd like to learn how to correctly work with it. Tal, please. Yeah, many people make efforts to kill their ego, rise above it, get rid of it. Some meditate, some take drugs. There are many different methods and techniques of how to work with the ego. Because today, people simply understand that the ego is killing our relations. People simply feel that the ego does not allow them to reach peace, tranquility, a good connection. And today we'd like to talk a bit about the role of the ego in our relations and what can we do about it. So, first of all, we'd like to understand how is our ego expressed in the relations between us. We know that people can do different exercises, but eventually, when we're with another person, it's really hard for us to control it. Why does the ego ruin our relations? Because, says Dr. Lightman, it positions a person in such a situation where he wants to exploit others all the time. When I look at others, then it's only through the eyes of how can I use them to my own benefit? How can they do something for me? How can I step on them? In different ways. And so eventually it kills people. It corrupts students in a classroom, ourselves at work, in life, also in our relationships and everything. The ego simply ruins all of our relations and relationships in such a way that two friends or a couple, husband and wife, or not even husband and wife, but a man and a woman simply can't. In whatever state we look, we see that the ego does not allow him to get along in a good, nice, comfortable way. To lead a good life, humanity is engaged in this all the time. Were we to live like animals, that everything would have been arranged according to who's stronger, more powerful. If this would have been the hierarchy, everything would have been fine. Were we to live under a king? But no problem. A king is a king. And I'm under him. And then everything, more or less, would have been fine. People would have accepted this governance. There would have been this hierarchy, a corresponding hierarchy, and it would have been very clear. But from the moment we start further developing and we want to breach these boundaries, then we no longer know how to correctly use who's more, who's less, and altogether how to use each other. Tal, can our ego love? Without correcting our ego, can we reach a relationship of love between spouses or Dr. Lightman? No, we can't. Once we're talking about love, the kind of love we mean is that we provide each other with sexual services or toward children, but that's already natural, that nature forces us to be that way. But really, the concept of love isn't the way we would like to see it. What is love? Love means that I love the other in my desire more than I love myself. That's considered love. And we see that there is no such thing. Tal, it's impossible. Dr. Lightman, sorry to say, but no. Because we are incapable of rising above our will to receive. above our self-benefit. If I see that it's to my benefit, then I love the other, just like I love some soup or chicken. I used to do this exercise with my daughter when she was little. You like this fish? Yeah. Then kiss it. It's right in front of you, on your plate. Go. She can't. Why not? You just said you love fish. So, what's the game? That it is clear to us in what way we love. Why can't I say that this is how I also love my wife, my children, in general, everything in the world, whatever I say that I love it. Egoistically, that it gives me pleasure in a special way, through some special conduit. I like music. So, it's obvious how I like it. And so on. It is all to my own pleasure. And therefore, it's not what we consider as love in terms of thinking to the benefit of others. It's not to their benefit. It's to my benefit to do so, and therefore I do something to their benefit. Like with children, I buy them something, I take care of them, because in that I feel pleasure. And once I no longer relate to them as my children, then it disappears. I have no drive to do something for them, think about them. So it's an instinctive drive that I have from nature. Okay, so the next stage is that we understand that maybe the ego is our number one enemy as spouses, as a family in general. So what's the next step? Should we kill our ego? Suppress it? What's the right definition? What should we do with it? Be in control of it. To control it. Meaning, not to suppress it for sure, not to kill it for sure, but to use it correctly. Because everything created by nature, we have to use all of these things correctly. So if on the levels of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, my body works automatically, knowing what's good and what's bad for it, then on the human level, which is above the still vegetative animate, the human level, meaning the speaking degree, there I don't know how to activate myself, how to operate myself. I have to learn. What should I do in order to be connected in a good and nice way with others? Why good and nice way and why with others? Because this is how my ego works. My ego works in such a way that I will relate only to the still vegetative animate and human beings in a way that I want to use them to my own pleasure, to my own benefit, or that I derive pleasure from using them and suppressing them, that it doesn't really delight my body or something, give it pleasure, but by suppressing them, this gives me pleasure. There's really using the other here in a way that it doesn't benefit me naturally, but it gives me pleasure indirectly, that I enjoy suppressing the other, that I'm superior to them. This is the real ego. Tal, so what does it mean to invert this situation, the state, correct it? Dr. Lightman, that I serve the others. Very simple. If I can relate this way to everyone, that I suppress them, and naturally this is how it is. This is how my evil inclination makes me act. That I can position them to my own benefit, so I can control them. So I can also do the opposite. I can use this lever in order to serve them, fulfill them. Tal, how do I do it practically? Suppose in a relationship. So what am I supposed to do now? Opposite to what I usually do. How do I reach a state where I serve? Sounds kind of distant. Dr. Lightman, you serve, you do it as a mother, as a wife, as a woman, but you do it because it gives you pleasure. That because of that, you have a family, children, a husband, a home, and so on. So you're willing to pay for it. But were you not related to them this way, connected to them that way? You're not connected this way to your neighbors, right? Why don't you do it there? It's obvious. It's as if disconnected from our cost-benefit calculation, Dr. Lightman. True. And therefore, what we need here is to bring a person to a state where he feels that the entire world is his family. And then he has to relate to everyone, to treat everyone the way he relates to himself, to his family. This way, we will gradually be able to come closer to the understanding. The realization is still far from us. That's another stage. But at least we could start understanding why did nature create an ego in us, and in what way should we work on ourselves with ourselves in order to invert it, like with a crane, to invert this bad into a good force. Tal, most of the people can't deal with the amount of personal problems that they have or the problems that they have in their family, so how will a person be able to deal with the problems of his neighbors, of the entire world? Dr. Lightman, the moment we start relating to the world as to one family, we suddenly feel that we're full of strength, understanding, feeling of how should we behave correctly and how to get along. Really, how to get along. Suddenly, we have the power to do it. We have the intellect, the emotion. No problem. Tal, where does the force suddenly come from, the intellect, the emotion? Dr. Lightman, because we want to use the ego oppositely, so instead of the bad limited force that always makes us feel that this my family and this mine and this not and this isn't and so on, suddenly I feel that I'm free, that I can use that same force, but in a good way. And then the entire world seems to me as a single system. And in that system dwells one upper force, which is the force of love and bestowal. And I also want to join it and live with it. Tal, I'm not going to serve my neighbors in the same way that I serve my household. It's irrational. Something's missing. How is it expressed that I love everyone as a family? Dr. Lightman, the expression in the meantime is that I start learning these things. I start understanding how did nature arrange these things. That I start seeing how should we integrate with each other. Tal, what do you mean to integrate? Dr. Lightman, how should we be connected in one system that we call in Hebrew Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first man? How can we reach a state where we're simply included in each other? Tal, how does that happen? I know that people meditate in order to try to rise above the ego, take drugs, do different things in order to try to release themselves of the shackles of me and others. So what can a person do? Suppress his ego and start feeling that everyone's his family? How does it happen? Dr. Lightman, it's a matter of a group and studying in a group and doing different exercises where we learn how to connect until a person gets this feeling that he is in the system of the upper nature. Tal, is there some kind of exercise that a person can do in order to come closer to that? Dr. Lightman only exercises inside smaller groups where a person learns how to do that. Tal, what kind of exercises? Dr. Lightman, connection, men with men, women with women, children with children. Learning how to connect, this is how they start learning what nature is demanding of them and to what extent can they really realize the orders of nature in order to reach a state where we live in a world without hate, in a world with connection, and people then start feeling that they're starting to attain a higher world, meaning a reality that surpasses the ego and wars, and then it's clear to them that everything depends on the measure to which a person has intentions outside of himself, outside the ego. That the ego is really is a real asset of ours, a tremendous asset by which we can rise above our own nature. And this asset gives us the feeling that there is another opposite reality and that we can reach it. Oren, this is the purpose of man's development to reach this opposite reality? Dr. Lightman, yes. Oren, what is it? And how is it related to the ego? It's the opposite of the ego, and therefore our ego gives us the possibility, opportunity to acknowledge it and do something above it. Oren, now this opposite reality is a reality in which these forces of love, of being able to feel that everyone's like my family, exist in it? Dr. Lightman, yes. Oren, so that's why it's opposite. Instead of feeling only my own family or myself, I feel everyone as my family. Okay, this is the great purpose of man's development. Dr. Lightman, the greatest. Oren, now a person that meditates in order to reach the feeling of that opposite reality where everyone's like his family and he loves everything and everyone, and he really feels that way. How is his feeling different than the feeling of a person who works on advancing toward this opposite reality in a group? Suppose meditation is something that I do by myself. It's individual. And here you're talking about working in a group. So what's the difference? Dr. Lightman, because in a group, and working on it in a group, you really rise above the ego. Owen, what do you mean by really? Dr. Lightman, that it's not an illusion. You learn together with them how to invert the negative into a positive force. Whereas in all meditations, you're closed inside yourself, and only by the power of your imagination and your inner effort, you try as if not to be under the control of the ego. You're not getting any kind of forces from above. Sure, you kind of, or to some extent, disconnect from the ego, but it's not that you work with it in a way that you're building a new system here. And the fact that all those that are engaged in different meditations and all of these teachings, they're not connected with each other. They're not connected with each other. Each is sitting in his own corner, meditating, and that's it. Oh, and people experience enlightenment, a different world, higher world. Dr. Light, no. It only seems to them that it's a different world. They experience disconnecting, detaching from their earthly corporeal ego, and they feel better. That's true. But it does not give them the ability to act in the upper world, to feel the upper world, to understand how to enter it, how to act in it. Not at all. Tal, what happens in the interaction and the relations between people in the group that enables this, Dr. Lightman? Because our ego, when it works man against man in oppositeness to each other, it shows us how much we have to invert our ego, the negative force toward each other into a positive force, something that actually doesn't exist in any other method. There you don't have inclusion. There's no connection between people for them to be in a group as one. Tal, what does it mean to be as one? Dr. Lightman, as one, it means that they really reach a state where they can say that we're in one body, we're as one. No, everyone sits in their corner without connecting with others, in introspection, trying to disconnect from their small ego. Tal, what happens to a person's sense of self? Oh, we said that the ego is the need to be appreciated by others and so on. What happens to a person's sense of self when he rises above the ego? He loses this need? Dr. Lightman, a person that rises above the ego according to the method of Kabbalah feels that he comes closer to others upon being rejected from others. These two forces work in him as one. And then, when he comes closer to others in this way, meaning his ego's working, he doesn't suppress it. It's an ego that grows all the time, and above that ego, he connects to others. Meaning his desire to receive grows, and his desire to bestow, to love, to connect, also grows above that. And so what happens is that love covers all crimes, that in that way, he really connects to others. And by that, he puts his ego to death. What does it mean to put the ego to death? That he inverts it into the opposite, into connection, into the force of love. Because we don't have the force of love. We don't have a positive force in our attitude toward each other. But only this way, a person really inverts it, this negative force, into a positive one. Oh, and so you just also talked about putting the ego to death. Many cultures talk about this. Many people that do different kinds of trainings, they talk about the death of the ego. It's not something that's unique to the wisdom of Kabbalah. But previously, nonetheless, you distinguished the kind of work that the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches about the ego from other methods. Dr. Lightman, in other methods, there's no putting the ego to death, but only suppressing it, that you don't feel it, that as if it doesn't stand in your way. If you sit in lotus posture on some mountaintop meditating, then of course you don't feel any connection to others, and nothing uncomfortable from others, you toward them, they toward you. As you know, to this day in India, you have billions of people that are very harsh toward each other. Everyone thinking only about themselves, inside themselves, and the castes that they had all the time, and the differences between people, nothing disappeared. Oren, I'm not talking about the general public. I'm talking about the unique individuals, sages. They talk about disconnecting from the ego, putting the ego to death. What's the difference between what they say about putting to death the ego and what you're talking about in the wisdom of Kabbalah? Dr. Lightman, that all in all, they put themselves in conditions where, with the help of meditation and all this introspect, they don't feel that the ego is standing in their way. That's it. Whereas the wisdom of Kabbalah, it gives you the opposite state. Your ego grows all the time, grows. And you, above the growing ego, have to build ties of love and connection. It's a different, opposite method. That's opposite to all other methods. Tal, why does it grow all the time? Dr. Lightman, it grows because I use it more and more, only in an opposite way. I use it like bricks when building a building. I look at it as the substance of creation that I need. Tal, I kind of lost what the ego is. It's my desire to control others, use them, be superior to them. Dr. Lightman, so I invert it into its opposite. Tal, this need grows in me every time. Dr. Lightman, I love the ego and I use it more and more all the time, only in a way that upon, atop that, I love the other more, and then anyone greater than his friend, his desires are greater than his, so it says, meaning to the measure to which I succeed in being above my ego, nature adds me more and more ego. Tal, does the ego end sometime? Dr. Lightman, yeah. Oren, so up until now you said that coming out of the ego, putting it to death, disconnecting from it, loving others, there's that. And there's working with the ego, increasing it, and also loving others. So what's the difference between disconnecting from the ego and loving others, and many religions and beliefs and methods talk about that, and increasing the ego and loving others still? Everyone talks about love. Dr. Lightman, no, you only talk about love. Where do you see this love? Owen, I met many sages in India. I'm not talking about the general public. I'm talking about more unique individuals that are more developed. They talk about love. Dr. Lightman, so they talk about it. Owen, all religions talk about love. So there's nothing new in talking about love, that you have to treat the entire world like a family. Plenty of people think that. The new thing here, I think, is that there's the matter of the ego. Do I increase or decrease it? Dr. Lightman, yes. If I can use it correctly, then I increase it. My question is, if you've increased the ego instead of putting it to death and added love to it, what does it do to the love? Dr. Lightman, then I have to increase the love in order to control the ego. Oren, is it qualitatively a different kind of love already? Dr. Lightman, of course. Suppose you and your wife, you had a good relationship, everything was fine, and suddenly the ego erupted. Something happened in your relationship. What do you do? Oren, unpleasant to say, now you're working on how to cover the ego that grew between you and that's separating you, how to cover it with love. Oren, and then, Dr. Lightman, and then you love each other again? Oren, and what do you want to demonstrate by this? Dr. Lightman, that then you, in your intellect and emotion, understand that now you're going with your eyes open to increase your love in order for the ego to be beneath it. And in that you succeed. Oren, so the more a person's ego grows, it's a potential to increase love and raise it to a completely different level? Dr. Lightman, true. Oren, thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.